The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
So you may have heard we were on TV for 29 hours on Tuesday, which is why you're getting that show today. It was a TV version now baked into an audio podcast. And the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is sponsored by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You get 18,000 employees, 18,000 safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, all of it controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You can get a custom, you get a system custom designed to fit your home, large or small. You can get safety on the go in the car or when their kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button.
In case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me cream.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast on television, and there is a 0% chance that anything will go wrong. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell.
That's right.
Nearly 24 hours in. How's the energy?
Feel good.
Really?
I feel good. I haven't said anything that will get me fired. Look, I look okay in general.
Right.
This is my look. How long have we worked together?
I think this is too long.
This is what America does to be cruel to me. They put me next to you, young, handsome Field Yates. It's outrageous.
Forget the afterthought.
No one compares. Stefania. No one expects me to look better next to you. But another dude, like, it's just, whatever. I've been up for a long time.
You know what?
I'm old. It is what it is. It's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. No one's going to
deny
that.
You are?
I will 100% do
that.
You're
a fantasy football legend.
That's true. I'm a husband, dad, fantasy football legend. Fantasylife.com.
Well, hello, Stefania Bell. How are you holding up so far?
I'm taking it off.
You're doing great.
Let me know when I got to do something.
Yep. Nothing important from you
today. I'm holding up well until, you know, it's stinky.
I know. You do smell right here. We've got a big show coming up.
Again, you guys are no fun.
This is our podcast just on television. Things will probably go off the rails quickly if they haven't already.
I was just going to say, we are
previewing two AFC North teams today, the Cleveland Browns
and the
Pittsburgh Steelers, perhaps the co-favorites in the division. A lot of buzz about the playoffs in Cleveland this year. And a big part of that is, of course, the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Matthew Berry, you declared last night Josh Jacobs for the Oakland Raiders to be your ride or die.
My fantasy ride or die.
Is it possible that Baker Mayfield was amongst those also considered?
100%. Look, my first choice actually was Baker Mayfield. I thought it might be a little bit too obvious. I mean, look, last year, quarterback 16, quarterback 20 on a points per game basis. But we saw moments of brilliance there, especially once Freddie Kitchens took over that offense. From that point forward, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback, right? He averaged over 4.75 deep completions per game. That led the NFL. He had a 52.1% completion percentage on deep passes, fifth best in the NFL. And why does all that matter? Why am I talking about his completion percentage and his accuracy down the field? Because, oh, by the way, they just added Odell Beckham Jr., one of the best deep wide receivers in the NFL. Just look, again, this is loosey-goosey math, but the year after Eli Manning got Odell Beckham Jr., from the year, you know, the very first year he had Odell Beckham Jr., he scored 100 more fantasy points. In 12 games.
Right, he helped.
And that was Beckham's rookie year.
Sure.
And you give 100 more points to Baker Mayfield, he's a top five fantasy quarterback.
Did you know that injuries played a part in Baker Mayfield's role last year? Because when Tyrod Taylor got hurt, that's when we saw Baker Mayfield come in. And that's, I think, when people started to catch on and say, hey, he could really take over this team
and do
something.
Can you believe how dumb that is, by the way? Hey, we spent the number one overall pick on this guy. Let's roll out Tyrod Taylor. And the fact that they didn't give Baker Mayfield any first-team reps.
You understand that Hugh Jackson had the same number of wins during his second-to-last season with the Browns as you and I did as NFL head coaches?
I mean, look.
Let's not forget that after that week when he led them to the comeback win, he still was not locked in for the job the following
week. Well, now he's locked in.
Goes the mine. Anyway, there's been a changing of the guard, not only, in the front office in Cleveland, new head coach Freddie Kitchens. And I think this is important because last year in the preseason, he was behind Tyrod Taylor, right? And so now he comes in, and there's a huge difference, Field, and you know this from having worked in front offices in the NFL. There's a huge difference knowing you're the guy. Baker Mayfield entered the offseason knowing he is the guy. Freddie Kitchens is the play caller that he wanted. They added Todd Monken, who's a very smart offensive mind as well. But this offense was designed around Baker Mayfield, what he does well, putting in the plays and the packages that make him comfortable.
We're always going to preach patience in terms of drafting a quarterback, but you did see where Matthew has Baker Mayfield lined up amongst his top 10. He's got him at quarterback 5, him at quarterback 7. His average draft position right now is quarterback 4. He's a player, though, that might even crawl further up the rankings with the moving target on Andrew Luck's return amongst other quarterback question marks right now. And everybody
wants... By the way, that's a big rise, by the way, to quarterback 4. Like,
sure,
he was going as like quarterback 7, and like, so the hype continues to build on him. And honestly, so these rankings were done before the marathon. They had to be locked in for graphics and everything like that. Baker Mayfield will jump Andrew Luck for me as we hear more news about his injury.
An incredible amount of talent surrounding him. He's a functional runner. We didn't see much of it last season.
I was just going to say, I think you're going to see more. He's going to have more confidence now. I think you're going to see an opportunity for him to even have designed runs.
Well, to that point, 5 rushing touchdowns each of the 3 seasons at Oklahoma, right? And we didn't see much of rushing from him last year. I think that's a good point. I think that's a skill set that we'll see more of this year.
We'll get into the entire complement of pass catchers, but there might be some odd men out. The one player we know without question will be the focal point of this Cleveland Browns offense is New York. Oh, he's not a Giant.
No,
he's not. They didn't sign him to not trade him. Odell Beckham Jr. is now a Cleveland Brown. The move that rocked the football world in March of this offseason. He was traded. You guys know the story there. No longer a Giant. Now a Cleveland Brown. No longer blonde hair. He's got a traditional do back. Matthew, I've heard you say this before on the Adam Schefter podcast and amongst other places. You think that Odell Beckham Jr., there is at least a scenario where you could have the best fantasy football season ever by a wide receiver?
That's within the realm of possibilities for
him.
We know how good Odell Beckham Jr. is since he entered the NFL in 2014, averaging over 20 fantasy points per game, 20.4. Only Antonio Brown is better over that stretch on a points per game basis. So he's fantastic, right? And he's played with Eli Manning. Like, in all due respect to Eli Manning, like, towards the tail end of Eli Manning's career, I believe Odell Beckham Jr. enters this season and he's going to play with the best quarterback of his career.
Yep.
And we just talked about all the accuracy numbers downfield. And so you've got a fantasy-friendly offense. You've got a quarterback who not only loves to chuck it deep, but is extremely accurate when it gets down there. And so Odell Beckham Jr. coming in, they're going obviously, look, he's a target monster. He always has been, as it will. But, you know, you think about what Odell Beckham could do in this offense, in a high-flying offense, especially with other weapons around, like Jarvis Landry, like David Njoku, like Rashard Higgins, like the run game. Nick Chubb is going to set up play action so beautifully for this offense. Look, I have Odell Beckham Jr. as my number 3 wide receiver. I have him ahead of Julio and Michael Thomas, as you see there on your screen. But it's certainly within the realm of possibility. I'm not saying it's likely, but it's within the realm of possibility that not only does he finish as the number 1 wide receiver in fantasy, but he literally has the best fantasy wide receiver season of all time. That's within his skill set and possibility given this offense and quarterback.
He is being drafted 5th amongst wide receivers right now, the back end of the first round in 10-team leagues in a lot of cases. You mentioned him at wide receiver 3. I've got him at wide receiver 5. One thing I'll say, though, this year...
It's the health issue, though, right?
Well, I was just going to say is there's kind of 6 guys that can make the case as wide receiver 1 this year, the 5 players that you saw on Matthew's list, and Tyreek Hill as well. Stefania, though, any concern about
honestly,
what happened
if someone
at the end
wanted
of last
to throw
year?
In Juju Smith-Schuster, I wouldn't argue with that.
A lot of anyway. Options there.
There has to be, because you have to look at a player's history. You can't ignore that. And you've got the fact that he started his career late because of an injury that he had coming into the league. And that's why, you know, he wowed everyone with what he could do that rookie season, despite missing the first 4 games. 2017 missed 12 games because of the ankle injury and surgery. And last year ended his season with a quad injury that he carried into OTAs and minicamp. So to completely ignore the fact that he could miss games, I think would be wrong. That being said, the talent probably outweighs the risk for him.
There's one stat that I absolutely love. Thirsty Kyle dug this up. So last year, Baker Mayfield, 11th in the NFL in touchdown percentage.
Okay.
Eli Manning, 31st. And again, Eli Manning 31st with Odell Beckham Jr. on his team, Baker Mayfield 11th as a rookie without Beckham and coming into a system midway through the season. And so
decided edge, one of the reasons
why I'm so high on Baker and Beckham.
Beckham not only goes to Cleveland, he reunites with his best friend, his college teammate at LSU, sure, Jarvis Landry, who last year was a target monster for the Browns. How much does this diminish the value, though, of Jarvis Landry having, again, his best friend with him on the field?
Fantasy-wise, significantly.
It
drops it significantly. Look, Jarvis Landry's fantasy value has always come from volume. And this is a guy that had the sixth highest target share in 2018, over 26%. And now, obviously, we know Odell Beckham Jr. is going to command a significant target share. Okay? His red zone, first off, the change in offense didn't help him. Right? So, under Freddie Kitchens, his red zone target share went from 54% to 14%. So, a significant drop in terms of red zone production. And in fact, in every year that Odell Beckham Jr. has played at least 12 games, none of his teammates that are wide receivers or tight ends have ever averaged even 60 receiving yards a game. Like, he's never had one teammate.
Ball hog, huh?
I think it's somewhat that. I think it's somewhat quarterback play and the offense. But my point is that Jarvis Landry's not a big touchdown scorer. He needs volume for fantasy production. I just don't see him getting it in Cleveland with Njoku, with Nick Chubb wanting to run the ball a lot. Rashard Higgins is going to get some love. And so much is going to go to Beckham here. He's currently, currently going, you know, much, much higher at wide receiver 25. I'm at wide receiver 33. Last year, of course, wide receiver 27 on a points per game basis.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic for a few reasons. First of all, Baker Mayfield, you just played out why he is,
sure,
at this point, he's seemingly just a little bit better than Eli Manning, who Odell Beckham previously played. But also, Jarvis Landry is better than anybody else that I think that Odell has played. Now, certainly in different stages of his career, early in his career, Odell played with some talented wide receivers, but Jarvis Landry is still a player that right now is in the prime of his career. Wouldn't be surprised if the numbers that you mentioned, the never having averaged 60-plus yards in a game for a teammate of Odell's, vanished this year.
And Odell's going to draw a lot of attention, you know, and that may help open things up for Jarvis Landry.
So I have him at wide receiver 31. You have him at wide receiver 21.
Yeah.
Split the difference. I say Jarvis Landry is not a top 25 fantasy wide receiver this season.
Okay, so again, I have to do the math here. But I'm pretty sure, like, don't I want to have
his ADP
a
is 25.
Okay, so, but I have
him at 21.
You've got him at 33.
33.
Splitting the difference closer to 27.
You want to do 27?
Not big on math. I understand it, yes. But I say Jarvis Landry is a top 27 wide receiver in 2019.
I say Jarvis Landry is not a top 25 wide receiver. Put it on the board.
It's too bad you guys got the numbers different. He said 25, you said 27.
We just said 27. I just repeated 27.
We both said 27.
We're going to check the tape, but either way,
there's... But it's fine. I'm at 33. I'm at the outside top 30 wide receiver.
Coming up, the breakout of Nick Chubb. How high will he soar in year two in Cleveland?
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Hi there. You're very attractive, but you look like you could use some help with your fantasy football team. So you know what? I'm inviting you to check out The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. You know, we provide the best fantasy advice. Christian McCaffrey finishes the 2018 season as the number one running back in fantasy. But he should absolutely outproduce his ADP. I like him in the second half as a breakout. With the most knowledgeable guests. Oh, hey, Mike Clay.
All right, Teddy.
Field Yates. Lou Riddick, always a pleasure, my friend. In a way you've never seen before.
Who'd you take number one overall in fantasy?
Have you lost your damn mind?
Careful where you're drumming there.
As your nipple glasses clearly demonstrate.
Free Aaron Jones.
Let the bum hate flow through you.
Are you drunk on syrup? It's National Waffle Day, Matthew. We only do the deep cuts here.
Practice save sacks.
Lady on Bell.
What a fantasy game he is having.
So what are you waiting for? Tune into The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry all season long. Streaming exclusively on ESPN Plus.
We have fun.
We certainly do. Welcome back to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast on TV. Thank you for hanging out with us, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, who you just saw, and Stefania. We call her Star Fania Bell.
Fania Bell, absolutely.
Talking all things Cleveland Browns and eventually the Pittsburgh Steelers. We now turn our attention to the backfield. And at least for the first eight games of this season, The workhorse in the Cleveland backfield is clear. It's Nick Chubb, a player who saw his stock rise meteorically during the second half of last season.
Yeah, I mean, you say for at least the first eight games, and I know you're saying because Kareem Hunt's
coming back,
but
right,
at least, but I can't imagine, barring an injury, that Nick Chubb gives up a significant portion of this game, this role. I mean, from weeks 7 to 17, week 7 on, he had 7 different games with 18 or more carries, tied Ezekiel Elliott for the most such games over that stretch, a true workhorse here. Like, this is a guy that was a top 10 fantasy running back over the second half of the year. Like, he accounted for 77% of the Browns' rushing yards after Carlos Hyde was traded. Only Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley had higher rates over that stretch. A true workhorse back. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why they were comfortable getting rid of Duke Johnson is because of the confidence they have in Nick Chubb as a true three-down back. I mean, we'll see. There'll be some Dontrell Hilliard in there. We'll see what happens when Kareem Hunt comes back. But I think assuming Nick Chubb performs the way he did last year, it's hard for me to see Kareem Hunt cutting into that role significantly.
So I think they sort of tie together, but out of the gates, people are wondering, how high can you go? How much of an investment can you make in Nick Chubb, Stefania? Whether this is a player that maybe at the turn of the first or second round, would he be a worthwhile pick?
Well, I actually think he's a great pick right there, but my concern will be, you said, if barring injury.
Sure.
Go back to Georgia when he had that significant knee injury, ligament damage, cartilage injury. I don't know if Nick Chubb can sustain the volume of work on that knee. We have a running back we're talking about a lot in fantasy drafts this year who, with volume of work, has had problems because of a knee. So
Come on, let's get some positivity.
No, but I mean, I'm here to present the facts and to inform you so that you can make an informed decision. I would still be willing to draft him because, of course, I know I'm going to be getting
other
folks. So
if you were on the Matthew Berry side of the ledger and you believe that this is his job, not just for the first eight games, but maybe for the entirety of the season, then, Matthew, I don't think it's that crazy to be drafting him somewhere not even, like, even sooner than the first round turn, right? I mean, like, if you made him a top eight pick, if you believe he's going to be the guy all season, this offense is going to be excellent. This is going to be a plenty of work share. He has excellent hands. We saw that last season. This guy could maybe press for top five running back territory.
You and I are both higher on him than the consensus. His ADP is 13. I'm at running back 8. You have him at running back 9. We both have him as a top 10 player. We both have him as, you know, a first rounder or easily early in the second round, depending where wide receivers fall in your draft. Like, the only concern, that there's two knocks on Nick Chubb, right?
Okay.
And so one is the passing game involvement, though it was worth noting. Multiple catches in 6 of the last 7 games that he played. So we saw him get a little bit more involved in the passing game, so that was helpful. Duke Johnson moving on to Houston, that's helpful, so you would expect him to be on third down more. And then the other concern, obviously, is Kareem Hunt. But he's got an 8-game head start.
Right, but so let's get into this Kareem Hunt situation, Matthew, because in Week 10, Kareem Hunt is due to return from his suspension. Arguably one of the 5 most talented running backs in the NFL is added to this roster.
No doubt.
You really can't imagine Nick Chubb surrendering carries to Kareem Hunt here.
Oh, can I imagine him surrendering carries? Of course I can. Can I imagine him giving up the job, or this is suddenly a 50-50 time split? If Nick Chubb is crushing, no, I can't.
You can't imagine a 50-50 timeshare.
If Nick Chubb is crushing, no, I can't. Like, I just don't think Freddie Kitchens all of a sudden says, like, hey, listen, Nick Chubb, I know you've been absolutely dominating, but we're going to dial you back by 50%.
I just think part of me wonders if they have aspirations for January, then they might be mindful of the workload.
Right. Will Kareem Hunt get work? Of course he will get if he's healthy. But, no, I mean, you've got a guy that's not going to be in the facility for 10 weeks.
So let's get to it. So not just what it means for Nick Chubb, but in terms of evaluating Kareem Hunt this year, is he a player that in a 10-team league on ESPN.com is worthy of a draft pick?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a long ways to wait. It is a long ways to wait to have him sitting on your bench for 9 weeks minimum,
right?
Probably week 10 as well.
Can't
you're not going to play
10.
Him unless
and
Nick
you're not
Chubb
playing him in week 10.
Hurt. Right.
Because you need to see what's going to happen. Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
I was going to say, unless Nick Chubb got hurt in Week 9 and he was going to be the immediate starter, he's just burning a roster spot for at least 10 weeks on your team. Like, that feels like a long ways to go before you get utility out of him. That being said, if you're going to be considering him on the waiver wire, like, you better do so in like week 5 or 6, because he will not be available if you wait until week 10.
No, that's true. You're going to have to carry him for a long time. And so that's the concern in an ESPN standard league where you only have 6 bench spots and you're going to have to go through bye weeks, and we know there'll be injuries. Like, it's tough to basically, I'm killing this for a guy that at best, we think the best case scenario for Kareem Hunt is he plays in week 11 and is in a 50-50 time split with a healthy Nick Chubb. Like, that's the best case scenario, is he's in a timeshare.
Really interesting.
Right?
Yeah, no question. It is a really interesting backfield to monitor.
He's a super talented player, but yeah.
Plenty of talent.
And there's the whole thing of, if you're not participating in football activity for that many weeks, because he will not be permitted to be at the facility, even though he's able to be there now, there's that adaptation and acclimation to being back in the game and practice, et cetera. So it makes Kareem Hunt a little bit riskier right when he comes out of the gate.
The Killer Bees are now the Killer Bees. Coming up, we'll get into what Ben Roethlisberger's 2019 season looks like. Should be a QB1 in your league.
Create your league during our fantasy football marathon, and you and everyone in your league are eligible to win a trip to ESPN here in Bristol, Connecticut. You can check out the ESPN campus and watch a taping of the Fantasy Focus podcast, as well as the taping of the Fantasy Show with yours truly, Matthew Berry. A lot of dancing.
We prefer to see it. You kind of cut that much of a rug at my wedding this summer.
I did.
Was pretty cool. Fantasy Focus is back, and now we turn
the
our
only
attention.
Difference is when I shot that, I was sober.
It's a good point. That might explain a lot.
At your wedding, not so much.
We'll leave that
dancing
one for
was not
the non-family
better.
Program.
Fair.
I just
was there too.
The courage was apparent. Let's get into the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the conversation begins. Well, there are a lot of ways to go with this, but let's bring it to the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. No Antonio Brown. Some question marks about this offense in that regard, I suppose. But how bullish are you on Ben Roethlisberger's outlook for the 2019 season?
I am more bullish than I normally am, but I have him lower than I think some people would expect. The third best quarterback in fantasy last year, both total points and on a points per game basis, I have him as QB 11. Look, remember this. Last year, obviously, led the NFL with 42 pass attempts. It is a pass-friendly offense here. But since 2014, 35% of Big Ben's points have come from Antonio Brown. Let's pretend they managed to match 90%, which is a big number, right? I mean, because
it's a big number.
Like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're hoping that number. Dante Moncrief is, you know, that Juju takes another step. Dante Moncrief, we'll talk about all those guys in a second. Vance McDonald takes a big step. Even if they do that, even if they fill 90% of Brown's production, Big Ben's points per game since 2015 would dip to 17.3. Best case, he plays all 16 games, which is always an issue with Ben, right? Because he gets banged up. He would end with 276 fantasy points. That would be QB 14 last season. Now, included in those numbers since 2014 are the home road splits, which last year went away. So it's a little bit of loosey-goosey math, but the fact of the matter is, very simply, you take away a player the caliber of Antonio Brown, that's a loss to any offense, no matter how good Big Ben is. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to downgrade him some.
So a couple of factors that you highlighted that are good are the amount of passing yards, passing attempts per game. You mentioned 42.2, the most in the NFL. And over the past 5 seasons, he also leads the NFL in passing attempts per game. So this is not an outlier season.
No, 100%.
The other thing that was encouraging for Ben Roethlisberger last year, if remember forever, it was Big Ben can't perform as capably on the road.
Yeah.
Right. Snap your fingers.
Right.
That part is gone.
Home road splits are gone.
Is that an anomaly or is that part of a trend?
Because I always thought that, like, I never had something that I could attribute the road struggles to, that I thought that it was like a growing larger sample size that was just telling me a lie. I feel like last year we saw the real version of Ben Roethlisberger on the road.
I don't know. I certainly hope so. I think my issue is more, is he going to, Juju Smith-Schuster becomes the number one with Antonio Brown gone. Is Ben Roethlisberger going to trust in his wide receiver the way he trusted in Antonio Brown? I don't know. I think there might be some issues there.
I had heard, and look, this is just, you know, sort of rumors around. I had heard that one of their attitudes was when they go on the road, they're more conservative. They want to run the ball more. And so that was one of the reasons why Ben's road splits were the way they were. Is this a specific game plan that they wanted to try to, you know, again, run the ball, play good defense, just sort of get out of there? But with no Le'Veon Bell last year, maybe they felt like they had to open it up. James Conner not as proven. You know, and so maybe that's why that went away. I will say, Field, that for all of our, you know, concerns about the loss of Antonio Brown. I have a QB 11, you have a QB 10. The consensus has him at QB 14. So the fantasy audience in general, much lower on him than you or I.
Yeah, it seems that way. Now, there's so much quarterback depth this year that sure. I do think that these ADPs are going to kind of move around a lot during the month of August as guys like Kyler Murray pick up some steam. Or perhaps we don't see someone like Andrew Luck throughout the preseason. He starts to slide down. But I think that Ben Roethlisberger is sort of accurately slotted for us as like a low-end QB1 just because the limiting factors are in case they do run the football more, in case AB's absence does hurt them, and in case, you know, the running is never really going to be in Ben Roethlisberger's favor, which no. guys like right. Kyler Murray
scrambling,
will soar
yes, but actually
that.
Gaining
but
yards.
This is somebody
really.
Like relatively healthy last year, but this is somebody that has always dealt with injuries, well, nagging injuries throughout his career, right, Stefania?
Yeah, and he takes a lot of contact. I mean, if you watch, I mean, Ben, he's big and he's physical, and his teammates appreciate that. But he takes a lot of contact, gets banged up, as you referenced, and that becomes a problem in terms of his ability to function as effectively.
And by the way, if there's ever like a great example of like why you wait on quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is going as QB 14. Like,
right.
what?
So much like, value to be what? Had. Basically going free in drafts.
Like, it's so deep. The position's so deep.
To committee or not to committee? Well, in the Steelers case, it's to not committee because for a while it felt like maybe it was going to be James Conner plus Jalen Samuels plus Benny Snell. Like, there are a lot of talented
there's some rumors out there. They drafted Benny Snell right this year.
And yet, not so much. It feels like James Conner has... I don't want to say reassumed this starting job unto himself because he never lost it. But Matthew, what's your level of confidence that not only will James Conner have a bell cow type of role for Pittsburgh this year, but also be nearly as productive as he was last season when he was an absolute monster for them?
I'm a little bit concerned. I'm still a little bit concerned that it's going to be a little bit more of a committee here. That you will see Jalen Samuels, who, by the way, was very productive last year. Had three different games with 10 or more touches, averaged over almost 17 fantasy points per game, 109 scrimmage yards in those three games. Like, he was very productive. They drafted Benny Snell for a reason. Like, not just for depth. Like, that's somebody who I think could be effective at the goal line. So, I understand that maybe the rumors have died down a little bit. If you ask me which running back on the Steelers winds up with most fantasy points, it's James Conner and it's not close. But do I think Jalen Samuels and Benny Snell are involved enough that it eats into his production a little bit? I am a little bit concerned. I think he's a lower end running back one this year.
Okay, well, I've got him at RB7. You've got him at RB12. The ADP right now amongst running backs is running back 9. So
I'm a little lower than the consensus, yeah. I have concerns.
You know, I think for Le'Veon Bell is incredible. We talked about him plenty during this marathon. But the big playability was not quite as common on the ground. We saw that a lot from James Conner. 7.4% of his carries last year went for 15 yards or more. You see
Matthew's worth
top 10 running back.
Right, and it's worth noting that when you see my rankings here, you hear any rankings throughout the marathon, it's a fluid process. I always do my rankings as if I had to draft today, right?
Sure.
And so as Ezekiel Elliott holds out longer, he's going to slip down. I'm not buying the Andy Reid talk about Damian Williams. I believe he's going to be the true bell cow there. But if we start seeing more and more signs that it's going to be some Carlos Hyde and some Darwin Thompson, Damian Williams will slide down. So, again, it's a fluid process right now. But my biggest concern on James Conner is workload.
So we don't think that he necessarily loses a ton of touches to Jalen Samuel. But also Jalen Samuel will have a role here in this offense. For those who are not totally familiar with him, a jack of all trades during his time at NC State. Caught the football a ton, ran the football.
Played some tight end.
But the guy was sort of all over the place for the Wolfpack then. We saw last year he was just a running back. He was only but still a very adapt pass-catching running back.
Despite his position eligibility on some platforms.
Running back,
but he was
only
a running back
ESPN.
Only.
Last year we saw him 26 catches in 14 games as a backup back. Does he have value? Does he have value in a draft, or is he nothing more than a handcuff? But if he is a handcuff, is he as good as there is?
He's right up there in terms of handcuffs. I think it would be tough until we see consistent playing time to start him as a flex in a deep league or something like that. So in a standard 10 or 12 team league, I think he is merely a handcuff.
Okay, yeah, something to keep an eye on is whether or not Benny Snell seems to get some run in that third preseason game, creates a three-headed monster. But for now, it is James Conner, Jalen Samuel, a very valuable handcuff going into the season. We saw it last year.
Yeah.
Coming up.
By the way,
AB is gone. The guy you need to know, Juju. He loves himself some fantasy football, and we love Juju right back.
Don't let Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Don.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Lyle Osick.
back to the ESPN Fantasy Football Healthathon. We don't have all the answers to Area 51, but we do have answers to all your fantasy football questions. Joining me today, alien aficionado Mike Clay and fantasy expert Mike. We've got a question from Joe in Reno, Nevada. He wants to know, what are the top three wide receiver sleepers I need to be aware of?
Well, look, a popular conspiracy theory is that wide receivers break out in their third year, but it's actually year two. So let's talk about some second year wide receivers.
Okay.
We'll start with a second rounder from last year, James Washington. He's now in Pittsburgh. And I mean, I guess there's an opening there, right? Antonio Brown's gone, 161 targets gone from that offense. So expect him to have a chance to play a big role. He made some plays deep downfield last season,
yes,
but not a lot of fantasy production. I think he'll get there here in 2019. The second guy would be a third rounder last season, Michael Gallup. Again, near the top of the NFL in average depth of target last season, which means they were pushing the ball to him downfield. He's going to work opposite Amari Cooper this season, and Amari Cooper's going to be drawing a lot of those top corners. He's going to get some chances for some big plays from the arm of Dak Prescott. So like him a lot. And then the third guy, how about a fourth rounder from last season? Kiki QT.
Yeah.
Now look, he had an injury in the preseason. It looks like he's going to be okay. Even if he misses a little time though, I want him on my roster. Last season, five full games, averaged 10 targets per game, almost a 30% target share. Actually out-targeted some guy named DeAndre Hopkins in those five games, believe it or not. I'm not saying draft him over DeAndre Hopkins, but if you can get him in the middle rounds, it could pay off big. So like QT a lot.
Wow. That advice is out of this world. If you need more for ESPN, go to ESPN.com/FFL and download the ESPN Fantasy app.
The Fantasy Focus podcast is available every single day, live on Twitter, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, also on YouTube or the ESPN app. Go to the Watch tab. You can find us hanging out, talking fantasy football, talking about stars like Juju Smith-Schuster, who has really embraced fantasy football, endeared himself to those who would like to draft him.
Hashtag
he's
team
given
Juju.
Them plenty of good reasons to. Antonio Brown is gone. I don't want to say that stardom is ahead for Juju. He reached it last year. But Matthew, how high can he climb?
He can climb very high. He's in the mix for wide receiver one. Not where I have my him as wide receiver six, but like if he was the first wide receiver drafted, I wouldn't look at somebody weird. I mean, this is a guy who was the eighth best wide receiver in fantasy last year. With Antonio Brown there, remember, it's all small sample size, but it's what we have to go on. He's played three career games without Antonio Brown. In those games, he scored in all three of them.
Yep.
He averaged 23.1 fantasy points per game, which would have been wide receiver one last season. 20 receptions, 255 yards on 27 targets. 27 targets in three games, Stefania. Like last year, 26 red zone targets. Only Zach Ertz had more. We talked in the last segment about how this was one of the pass-friendliest offenses in the NFL. Big Ben led the NFL in pass attempts for a game. And there's not a lot else out there. There's a lot of question marks beyond Juju Smith-Schuster and Vance McDonald, who we'll talk about coming up a little bit later. But, yeah, all in on Juju this year.
I know that stat you gave about how he would have been wide receiver one in those 3 weeks without Antonio Brown, my favorite stat besides the one that only once last year did he go consecutive games without 100 receiving yards or a touchdown. I mean, he is going to put up points every single week.
And I don't buy the whole, oh, Antonio Brown's there, so he's going to get the number one corner and it's more defensive attention. He's certainly going to get more defensive attention. He's a special player. Like, you just watch the, like, it's not like he's a product of the system or anything. Like, he's a special player.
You know, one thing we have seen on a handful of occasions is the Steelers have this passing of the torch, right? I mean, the torch has been passed throughout many players. Antonio Brown once received it from Mike Wallace. Now the chance for Juju Smith-Schuster to take it from Antonio Brown. We expect massive things for him this year, which is why he cracks all of our top 10 wide receiver rankings. Wide receiver 7 in terms of ADP right now. But the question really isn't about Juju in this Pittsburgh wide receiving group. It's about the other players in this group, because the wide receiver 2 role in Pittsburgh for a long time has presented a bunch of value. First shot of it seems to be going to Dante Moncrief.
I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster in the number 2 role last year caught 111 balls.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you know, like over 1,400 yards, right, yeah, 7 touchdowns. So, yeah, I like Dante Moncrief, who's still just 26. Look, this is somebody that has played well when he's been on the field. When he has gotten 5 or more targets from Andrew Luck back in the Indianapolis days, he scored in 11 of those 12 games. Look, kind of a lost season in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles, but now with another great quarterback in Big Ben Roethlisberger, special wide receiver. Yeah, I like Dante Moncrief as a sleeper this year. I'm his wide receiver 39. He's being undrafted. He's free in leagues. And so, Yeah, give me some Dante Moncrief, who has proven he can play at the NFL level and obviously has a good chance to be the number two wide receiver in a pass-friendly, fantasy-friendly offense.
He's presented a lot of hope over the years, right? Oh. For a long time, people have been saying, no, Dante Moncrief, the counterpunch to T.Y. Hilton in Indianapolis, sure, with Andrew Luck as his quarterback, gets a big contract from Jacksonville last year, has never seemingly lived up the expectations, Stefania, and as you have noted previously, a guy that's been in and out of the lineup as well.
Right, and I think that you've seen these flashes that give you confidence in Dante Moncrief, but it hasn't been consistent. No. And I look at part of that, maybe part of that in Indianapolis was the year he was without Andrew Luck. Maybe part of it was the quarterback play in Jacksonville, but part of it certainly has been absence from the field. In the first 2 years of his career, he played all 16 games, but in 2016, he missed 7 games with a fractured scapula. He only played 12 games in 2017 because of an ankle injury. Has a finger injury to start. They're just things that keep getting in the way. So it's like I need to see that full season of him performing consistently at a high level to really buy in.
And I get it, which is that's a reason for caution on spending a high draft pick. He's free. He's literally going undrafted, so you can't tell me he's not worth a flyer as potentially the number two offense, the number two wide receiver in an offense that threw the ball almost 700 times last year.
You said potentially because there's another name of note, yeah, which is James Washington, who just 2 college seasons ago won the Biletnikoff Award to the best wide receiver in college football, second round pick last year. That has been the sweet spot for the Steelers in the draft. Mike Wallace, Juju Smith-Schuster, amongst the other players that have gone in the second round at wide receiver they've drafted. Could he be the guy that emerges?
Well, of course. I mean, if ever there was a team to give the benefit of the doubt in terms of developing a wide receiver, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And so he's somebody who's shown some flashes. There was some inconsistency, though, last year. He caught under 50% of his balls, specifically 43.2% of targets. Right. So some inconsistency there. Big Ben is not going to like that. So he's big play guy. There's lots of speed there. But rumors out of camp are that forget beating out Dante Moncrief. He's not even beating out Deontay Johnson, who a rookie wide receiver that the Steelers drafted this year.
Yeah, it just feels like, though, that sometimes we, I don't say we overrate the preseason, but it does feel like sometimes we get a little bit fixated on a couple of flash plays for a player that makes a really positive impression or a guy that makes a really negative impression. You got to go back to the larger body of work here, which to me, I just keep an eye on James Washington.
But, I mean, so you heard Mike, right, in the segment before, in the Helpathon segment, you heard Mike Clay mention James Washington is one of his sleepers. I'm sitting here saying I want Dante Moncrief as one of my sleepers. I have Moncrief ranked over James Washington. Where do you guys stand? Moncrief or Washington? You got to pick one. Make a stand.
I know, and I know all the hype about Moncrief, but I'm probably going with James Washington because
you're risk
averse. Know me.
You're risk averse.
You know me. I think Moncrief is going to get a little more out of the gate. I think James Washington is going to elevate, though. I think part of it last year there was Antonio Brown. He was really the third. So I think there's more opportunity.
You get to break the tie.
Stefania, savant, brilliant, Princeton educated, picks James Washington. I'm picking James Washington.
There you
too.
Go.
You think I'm some sort of moron?
I'm alone on an island here.
Coming up, it is
I love
the
you,
day
Dante.
That Matthew has been working toward all summer. It's love-hate day. We'll talk Woo-hoo. About tight ends. Matthew, tight end love hates for the season.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
There you have it, the crew you normally see behind the glass. Thirsty Kyle, Secret Squirrel, Not Cool Keith. The guys who help make it happen every single day on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, which of course is live streamed on Twitter.
Smile, Kyle, you're on TV. Come on.
Looking sharp.
There you go.
They got that.
How tough was that? Thirsty Brown? Kyle, like, I'm ready for a stat. Come on, Thirsty Kyle.
They got the Homer helmets out there, the Browns and the Packers.
Say, Browns, Packers, Super Bowl. You heard it from them first. Every day,
Kyle getting married this fall.
That's right. Early congrats to
him. Taking a chapter out of Phil Yeh's book.
It's pretty cool. 10 a.m. Eastern time every single day on Twitter. Beyond that, YouTube live every single day.
The ESPN channel on YouTube.
That's right. Go find it. It's also
a lot of stuff on YouTube.
After the fact. That's right.
And don't go down the rabbit hole. Just go to the ESPN channel and then click out, because otherwise you're there for a long time.
ESPN channel on YouTube plus the ESPN app. Go to the watch tab every day, 10 a.m. Eastern time. We look forward to having you with us in future days. It is love-hate day. Matthew put a tremendous amount of effort in his piece. Did I hear right? 14,000 words?
Yes. 14,000 words.
14,000 words. I have not written that many words in my entire life. Matthew does it for a single assignment.
Yeah.
That leads us nicely.
Comprehensive.
Actually.
Pay his editor more, that's is right, what I right. say.
Give that person a raise. True. It actually tees us up nicely into the Browns and the Steelers, because you have a tight end that makes your love list from Pittsburgh, and then one that maybe does not in Cleveland. Tell us about Vance McDonald and why you are so
into him this he is a love for me this year. I think a huge season coming here for Vance McDonald. My tight end 7, currently going as tight end 10, and he was actually going lower a couple of weeks ago. So he's starting to rise up draft boards here. Very quietly a top 10 fantasy tight end last season. Think about the Steelers, who ranked 8th in tight end targets last year. When we talk about Antonio Brown, Jesse James also not there. So over 200 targets from the Steelers are now gone. And you think about Dante Moncrief and James Washington and all the guys we talked about in the last segment. But who does Big Ben know? Juju Smith-Schuster and Vance McDonald. Love this. So 3.8 yards per catch after first contact, third highest in the NFL. Chris Conte, very well aware.
Why you gotta do Chris Conte like that, man?
I didn't do him like that. Vance McDonald did him like that on national television here. Last season, Roethlisberger, the second highest yards per attempt when targeting a tight end. So again, I just think, and he's thrown to the end zone more in the last 3 years than anyone else. More passes to the end zone than any other quarterback in the last 3 years, Big Ben. Juju's gonna get a decent amount of that. Again, he had a second highest red zone targets other than Zach Ertz. But Vance McDonald, like, it's going to be a big Vance McDonald season, who last year, again, 50 catches, 610 yards, 4 touchdowns with A.B. and Jesse James there.
Matthew actually has a tattoo over here on the upper half of his arm that says, love-hate is relative. It's hate as in where they're being drafted or in a particular league.
I don't love or hate players. I love or hate ADP.
Right. You hate David Njoku's ADP this season. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that Cleveland offense. Could he be the odd man out?
I think so. He's currently going as tight end 8. That's a little bit too rich for my blood. I'm outside the top 10 here. Look, last year he averaged on a per game basis 3.5 receptions per game. Yeah. And now here comes Odell Beckham Jr. And so I just don't see him getting consistent volume as well. Weeks 13 through 17 last year, again, small sample size, that's all we got to work with. The Browns averaged a league high, an NFL high, 305 passing yards a game from week 13 on. And in those games, Njoku didn't catch more than 3 passes in any of those 5 games. Like, so they just didn't need him. Like, I think if I were to rank target share of the Browns, Beckham, Landry, then Njoku, like, and I think you'll see some Higgins and you'll see some Nick Chubb out of the backfield as well. So, I don't know. For me, I'm just worried about volume. At tight end 8, I think you need a little bit more consistency there from the tight end position.
All right. Well, a former Steeler, Antonio Brown, has got a helmet problem. Us? Not so much.
Man, I am super stoked about these customized Riddell helmets for the season we've got coming our way.
No, I am so excited about having my head just precision fit. Fits perfectly, so good.
But have you seen the design? Mine is so me. Oh, it's iconic.
Perfect. Yeah, I can't wait for those. I'm a little nervous about my hair. Helmet hair?
Didn't they take into account the height of that?
That's a great question, Peter.
Stefania, I know you caught up with Thad Eyde from Riddell Helmets. Talk to me about the Speed Flex Precision Diamond Helmet.
It's based on Riddell's Speed Flex platform, which has been on the marketplace for a few years. And what's new and interesting is this liner system, which makes use of Riddell's precision fit technology. They actually scan the surface of players' heads and create a liner system that creates a 100% custom fit helmet for that particular player, and it matches every lump, bump, and asymmetry of their head. The other thing Thad mentioned is that they're now using 3D printing to create these custom liners. They've partnered with a company in Silicon Valley called Carbon to generate these lattices to manage the impact energy the way they want it to be managed.
They even make them for heads as big as yours with that big old brain you got?
I know you're just teasing me, Daniel.
Huge thanks to the team from Riddell to come out here from Bristol to get set up with our customized helmets. These aren't them, but we cannot wait to see the final results.
It is time now for the big reveal here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Thanks to Riddell for their hard work. Let's see him, guys.
Let's see it. Custom helmets.
Oh,
very cool.
Oh, all right. Look at this.
So
I got SB and the 49ers.
With a wine glass and the Golden Gate Bridge.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, I got a secret squirrel with the Lions logo with the beard, which is fantastic.
State of Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
Beard. Proud graduate of Wesleyan University with some shells to represent Nantucket and Belmont Hill.
And of course, Riddell wanted to come in during my vacation. They're like, oh, can you come in and do this? It was my vacation. Like, I'm not leaving my family to do this thing. And of course, Riddell would come to another time, but it's fine. Stefania wouldn't come.
Matthew, Stefania's hold on.
We got you a helmet.
Matthew, I made sure Riddell sent you a helmet.
They rearranged it for Stefania, but not for me.
Here's a helmet. Oh,
I got a helmet.
Riddell brought you a helmet.
Oh, that's the one you used in high school, right?
That's amazing.
How about that? Try it on.
Let's see. Can you catch up?
This is going backwards. Put it on the right way.
You know, back when I played, they didn't have laces.
Every day, Twitter, YouTube, ESPN app.